in Hebrews chapter 3. I'll begin reading there in the first verse, but we've kind of looked at some of that, but I want to begin there to get the context. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But," and that's a big but "Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence of the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that did sin, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, or let us beware, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into his rest. As he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today after so long a time, it is said, Today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, this, of course, the book of Hebrews, as we have said on more than one occasion, is given, was written specifically to the Hebrews, as it is the epistle to the Hebrews, and I believe was written by the Apostle Paul, but there is no concrete proof of that. But it is very much like many of the writings of Paul. But that's beside the point. We do know that it is specifically written to the Hebrews and specifically to those who had professed faith in Christ. And so what he's saying here is giving them a warning. He said, wherefore, if today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now over in 90, what he's doing here is quoting from Psalm 95. Says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Now over in the book of Exodus, and I believe it's chapter 17, and the people thirsted, this is verse 3. Well, let's back up and begin in verse 1. It says, and all, this is chapter 17 of Exodus. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now we know that the example that's given to us of the nation of Israel, as they were greatly blessed by God, and He brought them out of Egypt, but it didn't take them long before they were gotten free from the deliverance that from the slavery that they were in Egypt before they had started complaining to the Lord. And we see them complaining first off whenever they were at the Red Sea, and they saw the host of the Egyptians coming down to, in their minds, to destroy them. And they said, well, Moses, you brought us out here into the wilderness to just get us killed. And of course, we know that the Lord showed them the salvation. He, as Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. They complained that they didn't have any meat to eat. They were being fed with manna from heaven that they didn't expend any labor or whatever to get. And the Lord brought it to them, and they ate that. But it didn't take them long before they were upset about that. They didn't like that. They said, we're tired of eating this manna every day, and we want some meat. And the Lord brought in the quail. And they ate that. But it didn't take them long in every case to grow weary of it. And that's demonstrative of how people are by nature. We're never satisfied with what we have. We think that if we just had something, boy, if I could just make another $50 a week, I'd be happy. All my problems would be solved and I'd be good to go. And we just think, boy, if we could just get this, or if we could just get that, or if we could just go here, if we could just do this, all our problems would be solved. And then when we get those things, we begin that same situation over and over again. Because such is the nature of men. And so the Lord would demonstrate that even those who are blessed of God, as the Israelites were, are never satisfied in this flesh. And so that it is that the sin of the Israelites was that they did not trust the Lord. They did not rest in the blessing of God to them. They were not satisfied in that, but they were always murmuring. They said, we're thirsty. And the Lord grew weary of them, and He told them that they would not enter into the promised land. And so for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness till all of those that had come out of Egypt died, except for Joshua and Caleb. And they were the only ones that entered in to that promised land. And so that's what He says here. He said, harden not your hearts as in the provocation or the day of temptation in the wilderness. Talking about how the nation of Israel were. It said, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years, they saw these things take place, but they were unable to enter in, and they died without having received the promise. And so he said, now keeping that in your mind, he said, think about this. He said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Now, we live in a day and age when the primary consideration of what faith in Christ is beginning. Now, if you ask the average person if they are a believer, the average person who claims to be a believer, the average person that claims to be a believer will tell you, yes, I began so and so. Well, of course, all things must have a beginning. The Lord said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, that's a beginning, is it not? But you see, that the beginning is not what He's speaking about here. Because we read in the Scriptures that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So beginning in the faith is important, but it's certainly not the faith. The faith that God's people are called to is not the beginning, but it is a continuation. Now, men in the flesh can often begin things very easily, but they can't sustain it. How easy it is to begin a diet, for instance. Easiest thing you ever did. It's like quitting smoking. I mean, Mark Twain said, I've done it hundreds of times. He says, nothing to it. It's easy to begin something, but you see, it's only by the power of God that a man will continue on. Now, men can in the flesh look at the things of God, the promises of God, just like the Israelites. They said, man, look over here at the Egyptians. They've got us under all this bondage. We want to get out from here. And they got out from there. They were glad to go. Man, they were all just happy and having a good time. Until things started looking better in Egypt than they did where they were going. And then they started saying, oh, but wait a minute, we need to go back. Now, the writer here to the Hebrews is setting this in the form of a warning. It's set in the form of a warning that men might know and understand that true faith not only has a beginning, but it has a continuation. It is not only the starting, but it is the finishing. Because that's what true faith is. You see, I have no faith at all if I believe today, but I cease to believe tomorrow. That was not true faith. It was a work of the flesh. It was something that was stirred up in me by somebody. Now, you get a persuasive enough guy that's a good orator and he's got skill, he can get folks to commit, can't he? Oh, man, you know, we had so many folks got saved yesterday. Well, wait about a year and see how many of those folks are around. Now, was that true faith? Dear brethren, true faith is that which continues on. It is the work of God. It is the calling of God. It is that which is not begun by men, but it's that which is begun by God. And that which is begun by God will carry on even to the very end. And so we are to be warned of that. Not as though those who are true believers could fall away. Now, why can we not fall away? It's certainly not because of anything in us, but just that scripture I quoted a moment ago, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. If men fall away from the gospel, it is because they've never had a good work begun in them by Christ. And so we do exhort one another, and we remind one another of that fact, lest we be carried away with some spurious idea of what faith is. But we need to know and understand that true faith is that which continues on. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, the work of God in the soul of a man is to cause him to delight in the things of God. Paul said that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a different outlook that the man who's given true faith and the work of the Spirit of God is given. And he says here, that exhort one another daily. That is, we are to warn one another of this. We are that's the reason God's people come together. Not because we fear that God's people are going to fall away, but we understand that men in the flesh do fall away. And we exhort one another that we look, examine yourselves, as he said, to see if you be in the faith. Know ye not how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. But exhort one another today while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, sin in itself is deceitful, because sin always promises something that it can't deliver, doesn't it? I mean, that's what Eve, she said, well, I'll do this and this is going to be great. Adam said, yeah, it sure is. I'm going to do it with you. And they had the promise of something that was going to be wonderful. But it was deceitful, was it not? And so is all sin. It promises something that it cannot deliver. And so he said, exhort one another today. Not next week. Well, we'll wait later on down the road. No, every day we need to be examining ourselves, looking to see if there be in us an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What if a man walks with Christ for 20 years? At least insofar as men look at it and examine it and know it. And he walks with Christ 20 years, but then after 20 years he says, I don't believe that stuff anymore. What does that prove? Well, it proves, number one, that it wasn't begun by Christ, because if Christ had begun the work, he would have performed it until the day of Jesus Christ. But it is important here, brethren, that we understand that faith is that which continues on. Now, there's a lot of people that in their, when they're raising a family and all, they say, oh, we need to get involved in church and we need to raise our children up in the church and all that. And they do, and then a strange thing happens. Later on, they just decide, well, they don't need that anymore. And they go on and do something. Well, what was that? It was a work of the flesh. Because, you see, when God works in a man both the will and the do of His good pleasure, He works in him to perform a work that continues on. Because, you see, it's not like he's following Christ for the loaves and the fishes and what he's getting out of it for the particular time. But he says, as Peter did, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Are we going to say, we've served the Lord, now we're going to go off over here and serve ourselves? Not if Christ has begun a good work in us. Because we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That's the proof that a man is a follower of Christ, is that he follows Him. While it is said, today if you'll hear His voice, harden not your hearts. And then He gives the example. And to whom swear He that they should not enter into His rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, to believe Christ is to believe Christ. It's not to believe Christ and something. It's not to hold on to Christ and something. See, this was the problem with the Hebrews, is that many of them embraced the way of Christ initially. They saw that they believed that Christ was the Messiah, but they became embroiled in the keeping of the law, and they started to put the law on the same level with Christ. They said, well, it is that we need to follow Christ, but also we should follow the law. Now, brethren, that's not far from the way that a lot of the mindset of men is, especially when they embrace the external things of religion. Because they say, well, it's good to trust Christ, but you also need to do these things. Whatever they are, a myriad of things. It may be the way you dress. It may be the way you comb your hair, how you grow your hair, or, you know, whatever. It may be a thousand different things. It doesn't make any difference. Because that which is faith in Christ realizes that it's Christ in Christ alone that is the hope of our salvation. It's not Christ plus these things, but it's Christ. And this is the place wherein those who are the sons of God are the most likely to err. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. The rest of Christ is that. We rest in Him. He is that one who is our salvation. He's that one in whom we safely trust. We're not expecting to receive something from some other source. We're not waiting upon some great revelation that some great teacher is going to bring to us. There's great teachers in the world. If you don't believe it, just ask some of them. They'll tell you they're the apostle sent from the Lord, or, you know, you need to listen to me because this is a prophetic message, or whatever. Woods is full of them, TV especially. I mean, you can turn it on, and there's plenty of them out there telling you all these things. I'm telling you, it's nothing but Christ and Him crucified. Paul said that I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because He is our rest. That's the place that we are. There's the mystery of God. If you want to know what the unfolding of the mysteries of God are, you're not going to find them in somebody's book about prophecy. You're going to find it in Christ, because He alone is the unfolding of the truth of God to men. And in Him, if a man sees and knows Christ, what else does he need to have? I mean, if a man knows Jesus Christ, what else, let me ask you this, what else could he possibly need to know? Now, I'm not saying that because you know the name of Christ. I'm talking about if you know Christ. Like Paul said, "Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, being made conformable to His sufferings." You see, if a man knows Christ, he doesn't need anything else. If a man knows Christ, somebody can't come along and snatch it away from him. If a man knows Christ, somebody can't come along and say, "Oh, but you need this. It's good that you know that, but you're not quite there yet. You need to have this little bit of information that I've got." Brethren, there's no other information that we need other than that which is revealed in Jesus Christ. Nobody can come along and enable you to have anything that the Spirit of God has not brought to you in Christ. It's impossible. And so he said here, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest." Dear brethren, we are entered into the rest of Christ. There is a Sabbath keeping to the children of God. That's what that word rest means, the Sabbath keeping. He uses the illustration of the Lord when He had completed His work. What did He do? He rested. Now, was He tired? No, He wasn't tired. He was finished. And so when Jesus Christ fulfilled that which God sent Him to do, He rested. He finished the work. He was done. And dear brethren, lest a promise being left for us of entering into that which is complete. See, that's what he's saying here. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Now, many people hear the gospel. Many people hear it. That is, at least with the natural ears. But until God, who's rich in mercy, is pleased to cause man to hear it with those ears that only He can open, it's not of any profit to him. The word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. Now, faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But when God gives a man faith, he has that which is true. "For we which have believed do enter into rest." Now that sums it up in a nutshell. "For we that do believe, for we which have believed do enter into rest." What is the rest? Christ. He is our rest. He's that resting place. We don't want to go any further. I don't want to go any further than that. I remember hearing a story one time about B.B. Caldwell and some fellows. They had some kind of spiritual experience or something, and they came to B.B. Caldwell and they said to him, Brother Caldwell says, you need to get this because this will just carry you further than you are now. He said, well, let me ask you something. He says, is what I believe now have me in Christ? And they said, well, yeah. He said, that's far as I want to go. Why? Because he was resting in Christ. He didn't need anything else. He wasn't looking for something else. Now, the world is never satisfied. Religious men are never satisfied. They're always looking for some new experience or something, you know, that's greater and fuller and deeper and all of these things. But I'm telling you that the fullness and the deepness of God is found in Christ and nowhere else. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I sworn, if they shall enter into my rest, though the works were finished, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works, and in this place, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. If the Lord made a place wherein he would have his people to enter, it remaineth that some must enter in. Is that not true? I mean, does God do things and then thwart it in his purpose? Of course not. He purposed to save a people in Christ, and those people shall be brought in. Therefore, it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in. So there are some that hear the word, but they don't enter in. But there are some who hear the word and do enter in. Why do those that hear the word and don't enter in not enter in? Because of unbelief. Why do those that enter in? Because they believe. Now why do they believe? Because of the grace of God, the mercy of God, to give them the gift of faith. That they embrace and say, Jesus Christ is all that I need. He is the Savior. And I look no further. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying, and David, today after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, what is the biggest worry that the child of God has when he reads a scripture like that? Is that he'll harden his heart. Why does a man fear that he'll harden his heart? Because the Spirit of God's working in him. The Spirit of God is teaching him what he is by nature. And he knows that this is speaking to him. He knows, you see, we know every one of us, if we're born again by the Spirit of God, we have that fear within us that we will turn and walk away. Because we know how easily led astray we are. We know that. And we know that we'll quit believing tomorrow. The man that thinks that he won't ever quit believing is a man that's never been awakened to the fact that he's lost. The man that thinks he'd never be faithless is the man that's never known himself to be faithless. Because when the Spirit of God teaches a man that he is faithless by nature, then he fears that he could go back into that same place again, does he not? But he knows there is one place where he can find rest, and one place alone, and that's the only place he wants to be. He doesn't want to be among those that harden their heart. Now, some people, they're not worried about that at all. I mean, this falls on deaf ears. A lot of people say, oh, you know, we would never do that. Well, be careful. Man that says he'll never turn away from Christ is likely the man that will. Because who was it that voiced his determination to stand with Christ the loudest? Was the Apostle Peter. He said, oh no, not me. He said, they all will. But buddy, you can count on me. And the Lord said, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Because you see, when Peter was brought to a place to see what he was by nature and know that he had no ability of his own self to continue on,
He was humbled at the feet of Christ. And so it is. If Jesus had given them rest, they would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. There is a Sabbath keeping for the people of God. It's not a day of the week. It's not a time. It's not a season. But the rest that for the people of God is found in Christ. He is our Sabbath. He is our Sabbath keeper. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. Because we see that in Him is all the work of God finished. When? From before the foundation of the world. See, it was finished. The Script says here that the Lord had finished His work before He ever did it. Huh? He said He finished it, but it was already done. What does it mean? It means that was His purpose. You see, when God purposes something, it's as good as done. It's not. He doesn't have to carry it out for it to be done. It's done because He purposed it. The only reason that these things are carried out is so that we might see them. See, you can't see the purpose of God. You can't have any understanding of the purpose of God. But in the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to reveal the purpose of God. God at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has revealed. You see, God's revealed His purpose. That's the only way you and I would have ever known what the purpose of God is that God, who's rich in mercy, did come and send His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Did He do that for His benefit? No, He did it for ours. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. Now look at this. For he that is entered into His rest, he has ceased from his own works. As long as a man is working, he's not resting, is he? But look at what it says in the next verse. Let us labor. Wait a minute. See, that doesn't make any sense to the natural man, does it? Well, here's the rest. Well, brother, we're just going to rest. We're just not going to do nothing. We're going to sit back. So he said, let us labor therefore to enter in. Why? Because you see, when God stirs up a man, He stirs him up to desire the way of Christ and to desire to enter in there. And he's laboring to enter in there. He's wanting to enter in there. The Lord said that men up until the time of John were in entering to the kingdom of God. He said, but they that now, He said, they take the kingdom of God with violence. What does that mean? It means that the Spirit of God calls a man to hunger and thirst after it. He wants it. He desires it. He's not content just for somebody to pat him on the back and say, well, you're a Christian. You signed up. Here's your little card. This will do for you. No, sir. No, he wants to know Christ. He wants to follow Him. He's not interested in what men are telling him. He wants to know the one who hung on Calvary's cross. He wants to follow His way. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Brethren, you see, it is a rest in Christ that the Spirit of God causes the people of God to hunger for, to labor after, to seek after, to go after, to hunger and thirst for, to want with all that's within them. That is the work of God. And that indicates that a man has entered into the rest of Christ because he desires with all that's in him Not today. Not just today. Tomorrow. Next week. See, that's the work of God. Work of God can always be known by the fruit that it bears. I mean, it's an ongoing thing. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, because he that's entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. Now, Cain, as Brother Al brought up this morning, Cain was a man that rested in his own works. He said, look what I've done before the Lord. No faith involved in that. He said, look, here it is. This is what I've got. And such is the way of men. Dear brethren, that's not the way to labor to enter into the rest. That's the way to labor to labor. See, a man can labor to labor, or he can labor to enter into the rest. And every man on earth is going to be doing one or the other by the grace of God. We've been made to labor to enter into that rest because we know that Christ alone is the salvation of sinners. And no other help. No other hope. There's nothing I can tell you to do or nothing you can tell me to do or whatever, but it's to see Christ, to know Christ, to follow Christ, to be in Christ. How's a man get there? By the grace of God. By the mercy of God. Because those whom the Lord has given grace to believe are those who call upon Him. For whosoever, the Scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, why is that? It's because God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, it's the Lord that causes a man to call upon His name. Not just to say His name. A lot of people say His name, but they never call upon the name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, there are many that call. They're told they're calling. They're given a formula to call. They say, well, you called. Here it is. Write it down. If you ever get a doubt, go back and read this card and you'll know that you did. No. How does a man know that he's calling upon the name of the Lord, or that he called upon the name of the Lord? It's because he's calling on the name of the Lord. See, I don't look back and say, well, I remember when I called on the Lord. Then I can't do anything else but call upon the Lord. He's my rest. He's my hope. I want to labor and enter into His rest. I don't want to be found out here trusting in something else, but in that which is true, that which has stood the test of time, because it's established from before the foundation of the world, and it shall continue on throughout eternity because of the fact that God has begun it and He has caused it to come to pass. And He's given us a desire to walk in His steps. What else can we do? Peter said it. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I give up hope and everything else. Some people, they're trying out new things every day. All I want is Christ. I don't want to hear about new things. I don't want somebody to come along and tell me some new mystery or whatever. I just want Christ. May the Lord give us grace that we might enter into that rest.